all paths to God. All are welcome. Because what we do is we recognize the very true nature, true presence of the divine that is you. So once again, welcome to One Love Center Presents. One Love Center is an actual vibrant community, and we exist in other real time. Besides now, we meet the first and third Sunday of the month in person at the Village at Gureje, G-U-R-E-J-E, in Brooklyn, New York. That's 886 Pacific Street in Brooklyn, New York, 11238. And you can reach me by phone. Our center phone number is 917-755-1418. We can be reached by email, onelove, that's O-N-E-L-O-V-E, at onelovecenter.org. And we have a website, which is in need of some repair. It's onelovecenter.org. That's O-N-E-L-O-V-E. O-R-G dot center, C-E-N-T-E-R dot O-R-G, onelovecenter.org. Once again, I welcome you back to One Love Center Presents. So, we do meet in person, as I said. I just want to finish that thought. At 886 Pacific Street in Brooklyn, the first and third Sunday of each month. And in December, we meet three times because we do an awesome ceremony, the Burning Bowls ceremony. So you want to put that on your calendar for the last Sunday in December. I'm putting that in there now because time is flying. We're already up to October 15th. So, yeah, now is the time to plan on continuing to change your life in an upward spiraling, fantastically prolific way, and that is living your life in the now, day by day, moment by moment. So, I invite you to listen and to participate, send an email. Maybe if you're listening live, you can join us in the chat room, which is being opened as we speak, and you can just type in anything that you'd like to contribute. So, once again, my name is Rocky Kittens, otherwise in many circles known as Godly. And I also recognize the God in you, God that is you. So, we're picking up in Chapter 10, The Power of Now. I use a hardcover book primarily. I do have the companion book, Practicing the Power of Now. But for the most part, I read out of the hardcover, The Power of Now. And we've spent a good amount of time. We've spent most of the year, all of the year, actually, in the power of now. And really has made a difference for me. Really has kept me present in the moment to what is, for the most part. It's work. And it is, as a companion book says, practicing the power of now. And it is powerful. It most certainly is a powerful opportunity to have the kind of life you would prefer to have. Not living in the past or the future, allowing yourself to be in the present moment and reap the benefit and the joy, because there's only joy in the present moment, of knowing that right where you are, the presence of the divine is, and that is only in the now. So, we're in Chapter 10, The Meaning of Surrender. And we haven't gotten too deeply into it, so feel right at home. And just feel free to participate. Chat room is open. So, it starts off on page 171, the acceptance of the now. And as we look at it, do just a brief summary of it. And at this time, before I even go any further, I am ready to invite my co-host, Hajar Rahim, Queen Goddess Reverend Hajar Rahim.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be able to be on tonight with you. It's just a wonderful thing.
Yes, it is, and I'm so glad that you could be here. And, well, being almost anywhere with you is a great pleasure.
Well, thank you.
I know wherever you are, it must be the right place. If I'm there, it's definitely a good place to be. So
well,
same
to you.
I'm glad we travel in the same circles. So.
I am, too. I definitely enjoy being with you and talking to you and discussing things with you. It's just a wonderful perspective.
The best part about it is we know that we are together in mind, because
mm-hmm.
there's only one mind, only one life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's God's life. So I'm so grateful that we are aware of that.
And we are.
I'm
grateful that we, in that, were able to look at it from both the male female perspectives. I think that's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yep.
Good. So I'm looking at page 172. We're going to do a brief summary of the beginning of this chapter, which is acceptance of the now. And, you know, we went over it before, and maybe something else may have come up for you or for me or for anybody who's
mm-hmm.
listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I do like the part where surrender is the first paragraph, full paragraph on top of 172.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, surrender is a purely inner phenomenon. He says, it does not mean that on the outer level you cannot take action and change the situation. It is not the overall situation that you need to accept when you surrender, but just a tiny segment called the now. And for me, and I'll speak for myself, and maybe if there's any identification with anybody, please feel free to participate in that, because usually when he says that tiny segment called the now, it's usually the stuff on the outer seems so much bigger, seems so much more prevalent and relevant, because it's like there, in our face, and very rarely, very rarely will I stop or slow down to see that tiny segment in the now moment, because how fleeting is the now moment? It comes and goes, only to be replaced by the next now moment. And sometimes it seems very difficult for me to stay centered in each now moment. It's
mm-hmm.
like, here comes a tiny segment of now, and I want to hold on to it. Oh, that was
mm-hmm.
great. And I already prefaced that it's been gone. I said, oh, that was great. So what happens? I want to recapture that great feeling, that great experience. And my main reference point is what already just occurred, the past. I want to hold on to it because it felt so great. And that usually what gets us in trouble, gets me in, has gotten me into a lot of trouble. I saw, driving to work this morning, and I got, a wonderful divine parking spot, and I was with driving with Brenda, and we noticed that there was this young high school couple, just making out madly, in the street, on the sidewalk, right where we were going to park. And it was like they could not get that last kiss, before
mm-hmm.
they had to leave, before they
mm-hmm.
had to go to school. It was like she was trying to push him away, but then she went back for another kiss. He kept going
mm-hmm.
for another kiss, and then they kept going for another kiss. And it reminded me of, like, alcoholics and addicts and people with obsessive compulsive, disorder. It's like One is too many, and 1,000 never enough. Just can't get enough. I need one more kiss. That's what it reminded me of, you know. And I know I have a history of like wanting more, you know.
Uh-huh.
Even if it, I thought it was good, and it was no longer good for me, I still wanted more because I was chasing that first one that felt so great.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had to have the next
another
one.
Mm-hmm.
That was sure to be as good as the first one. And
mm-hmm.
you know what?
What?
With that mindset, it's never as good as that first one. And so we go chasing it, chasing that first one to be the next one, to be as good as the first. And what happens? I totally lose awareness of the now moment.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of chasing the past.
Right.
You know, I've lost the now. I'm trying to chase the past. So if I could just be in the now moment, then, you know, I wouldn't have to surrender to the past. I can surrender in the now to the now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so I it's not the overall situation that has expired. It's gone. It's past. It's a memory. It's just that tiny segment of the now. So I really get off on that, obviously, as you can tell.
Right. And, yeah, and that's important because what he says here a little bit towards the middle of that paragraph, he says, this means that there is no judgment of the now. Therefore, there is no resistance, no emotional negativity. You accept the isness of the moment. Then you take action and do all you can to get out of the mud. He's earlier talking about being stuck in the mud. And so you're in a situation that you don't like. It's a negative situation. So you assess the situation. This is what's going on. Now, what action do I need to take in order to get myself out of the situation? Such action I call positive action is far more effective than the negative reactive emotions which arises out of anger, despair, or frustration. Until you achieve the desired results, you continue to practice surrender by reframing from labeling the now. And so what you have to do here is take some positive action to get you out of being stuck in the past because it happened. It's already happened. So we've judged it. It's not good, blah, blah, whatever we come up with. But the key to getting unstuck from that is to offer no resistance, just to look at it and say, okay, this is what it is. This is what happened. So now I didn't like it. So now what do I do to have a positive movement forward and to get myself out of being stuck in the mud? And so you get out of the mud, then you wash yourself off, and you continue to moving. And, you know, when you can get that through your head that you got to get unstuck from labeling things and get out of that negative reactive mode that we kind of like live in, then we can move forward. And I know I've had to release a lot of negative stuff because we all are living in this society, and it's constant judgments of this, that, and the other, even consciously and unconsciously. And so I've had to surrender some stuff, and it's a lot of forgiveness work. It's a lot of forgiveness for myself, forgiveness to them, forgiveness to God, forgiveness to my parents, just forgiveness that I have had to release stuff that I have gotten or picked up on the way that was running my life, and I didn't realize it, that I had certain attitudes or inclinations towards certain things, and it was a negative thing. And so as I discover these things by listening to myself and what my judgments are, I bring it into the now moment, and then I can release it by taking positive actions with it. I can say, you know, this no longer serves me. I don't want to be here anymore. I can accept it for what it was, take the lessons that I got out of it, bless it, and move on. And that's what I've been practicing, and it's really has given me a lot more energy and a lot more relief because I'm not dealing with as much negativity as I was before.
Great.
Or reacting
yeah,
to it, I would say.
Right. Oh,
that
yeah.
That way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I want to take it a little deeper, and especially because you mentioned, you know, the negative and positive action that he mentions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to get into later, and I'm going to put it out here now to further describe or you know, we'll look at what some of those positive actions are
right.
on a deeper level. But first, I want to bring up something that's come to me about negative action. Because he does say, this means there is no judgment of the now. And we're not mentally labeling anything. So now, when we hear the word negative, we usually think like bad and harmful and wrong and all of that. However, just think of a now moment, and I mentioned that first kiss, which was like, it's like the stars are swimming, going around, the, circling around the head, and, you know, it's like a swoon, and it's like, this is love, you know. So I've labeled that moment love.
Right.
Now, that moment has passed. That now moment has passed, and I'm still calling it love. Now, a little further down on 172, he says, negative action, which arises out of anger, despair, or frustration. And so what happens is, to me, this is how I'm understanding this. That now moment that I called love, which is past, it's not here. What happens? I want it. All of a sudden, I'm wanting something. I'm not feeling that I have love because I associated love with that kiss, which was done. That's in the past. So now I'm getting a little frustrated because where is the love? You know, somebody had a song, where is the love?
Yeah.
You said it was mine, oh mine, to the end of time. That's a frustrating song. You know, it sounds beautiful, but when you listen to the words, it's like, you know, whoa, that's a sad song.
It's a sad song.
It's beautiful
song.
Music. But what happens is we've labeled it, moment, where is the love, and therefore it turned negative. It sounds even angry.
Right.
It sounds angry. It sounds frustrating. It's frustrating. And so what started off as positive became labeled and then became negative.
Right.
So I think a lot of things that are initially positive or feel-good moments can quickly turn negative because we become focused on what was and trying to bring it back into now instead of being with surrendering to the now moment. And so when you mention, like, well, how do you, and he says, you know, then you take action and do all that you can to get out of the mud. Such action I call positive action.
Right.
And you mentioned a few things. You mentioned blessing the situation. You mentioned a couple of other things I heard you mention.
Taking the lessons from it, looking at what you want rather than what you don't want, and moving forward towards that goal.
And so even then, with all of that, we still have to be in the now. We still have to not attach any emotional negativity, but any wanting or anything that's going to turn sour. It's gonna, because it's old. It's like it could be seconds old and it's old. You know, the isness of the moment. If you're not in the isness of the moment, it's going to get old real quick. So I think for that couple kissing on the street like they were, you know, they were trying to constantly recapture that moment. Now, I give a little credit to the girl because she kept trying to break away and she was getting pulled back in, you know. So I think, you know, how he talks about how ego is associated with the mind. You know, we identify ourselves with the mind, with the ego. You know, she was getting pulled back in, you know. And so I think she was trying to escape into the present moment, like we got to get to class.
Yeah.
but both of them were in that. And I see that how easily any of us, that can happen in the moment, take ourselves out of the moment. And then it's going to be negative, which I think sometimes is a label in and of itself. I'm not sure how we can get away from not calling something negative and it not being a label. You know, like labeling something positive and negative, it's a label. So, anyway. So I appreciate that, and what I'd like to do is look at the ways in which we use positive action.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to get to that in the next page, because he talks about non-surrender, perceiving people as threatening, the world and people as threatening, the unconscious compulsion to destroy others through judgment arises, as does the need to compete and dominate. And I'm like, wow, you know, just in that little moment, look at all what happens.
Where are you reading now?
I'm reading at the bottom of the last paragraph on 172.
Okay, I see it.
And all of this happens through fear. All of this happens because of fear. Because, I mean, fear is natural and normal if we're not in the now.
Uh-huh.
Where most fear comes from past experiences that we put a judgment on. Like last week I mentioned this story about the two people walking down the street, down the road, and they saw a snake, dirt road, and they saw
mm-hmm.
a snake. Well, actually,
right.
They saw a branch that looked like a snake.
Uh-huh.
They both thought it looked like a snake. Now, one had pleasant experience with snakes, and the other one did not.
Right.
And so fear came up for one, and they wanted to run the other way. The other person just saw snakes as a wonderful friend, as a pet, or, you know,
right.
just a wonderful part of nature, and wanted to run to it. So so fear pretty much drives a lot of our, I think it's a continual self-replicating experience. Self-replicates more non-surrender because we feel threatened, we feel vulnerable. And when that happens, we want to protect ourselves. And some people protect themselves by perceiving a threat and then wanting to be offensive more than defensive.
Uh-huh.
They want to destroy others, like it says in the bottom of 172, the need to compete and dominate.
And that's done out of fear. Yeah.
Yeah, all of it. And we know ego feeds on fear.
Right.
You know, it gives it something to do. It thinks it has a chance to show off its power and its prowess and presence.
And that's also the case of how the media projects things out there to us, to fear everything, even hypothetical situations. I'm thinking about not just the news of what's going on in the world and all the threats out there that's going to get you, but if you... in the commercials, they talk about the medication.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, this could happen to you, you know, this could happen to you. Not
right.
that it's going to happen. It could happen. And therefore,
right.
to prevent it from happening, you just buy this product, you know, or sign up for this service because it could happen, you know.
Right.
And so it sets us up as a society to live in that fear. And when we submit to that and we surrender to living in fear, then we are being set up for them to take our rights of choice and our civil rights away out of fear of not being protected and wanting to be feeling safe and secure. Therefore, we give our rights up. And it's a vicious kind of a cycle. And as we, if we're not conscious of what's going on, then we fall victim to it, thinking it's a good thing, without recognizing the potential harm that it can bring to us just through the social conditioning that we have accept it.
Yes, thank you. So as we move on, and we're on page 173, I like that middle paragraph. Well, before we get there, it does talk about some of the positive activities.
Mm-hmm.
Actions.
Right.
That,
right.
not only your psychological form, but also your physical form. Your body becomes hard and rigid
right.
through resistance, non-surrender.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Tension arises in different parts of the body, and the body as a whole contracts. The free flow of life energy through the body, which is essential for its healthy functioning, is greatly restricted. Body work and certain forms of physical therapy can be helpful in restoring this flow. But unless you practice surrender in your everyday life, those things can only give temporary symptom relief since the cause, the resistance pattern, has not been dissolved.
Right.
And so that, there's another positive action. One is, you know, the external, the body work, physical therapy, but most certainly practicing surrender in your everyday life. But I think that, you know, of course, that's something that needs to be more discussed, which it does.
Yeah, because when you say that, what comes to my mind is the other side of that coin is forgiveness, you know, because a lot of times when we're in such a resistance pattern that's been affected, we're being affected to such a degree that it comes to be part in our physical form, then there's a lot of forgiveness work. There's been some trauma or some very hurt feelings or whatever you want to call it there that we are stuck in a pattern. And so then we need to look at that pattern and do the forgiveness work for ourselves and for others so we can release it and then surrender into that release and let it go, frees up our energy to be in the now, and then we can take positive action toward being in a better state of mind.
And he continues by saying, there is something within you that remains unaffected by the transient circumstances that make up your life situation, and only through surrender do you have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
It is your life, your very being, which exists eternally in the timeless realm of the present. Finding this life is the one thing that is needed that Jesus talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of reassuring. And I do want to say for those who are listening, if you do want to say anything, just press, I believe it's the one button or the pound or the star button on your phone,
right.
any one of those, and we'll see that you'd like to share something. And we'll bring you in so that you can vocalize and share vocally. Or you, if you're online, you can feel free to type in. And I recognize we do have another caller on the line. And let's see if the caller would like to say anything. Caller, are you there? Okay, well. If you'd like, you can always just signal us and let us know if you'd like to participate. Thank you for being with us. I would like to also add that this show will go until 8 o'clock instead of 8:30. So just to let you all know that this is a slightly shortened version of our wonderful book study. Okay, so we are in 173. It says, if you find your life situation unsatisfactory or even intolerable, it is only by surrendering first that you can break the unconscious resistance pattern that perpetrates the situation. Now, for anybody who's been involved in the 12 steps of recovery, most people will, I think everybody would know, that surrender is the first step. Doesn't mean you have to do anything, think anything. The first step is to surrender. I remember people used to say the first step out of the 12 steps, surrender, is like at the time, Mike Tyson was just punishing people in the ring. And the boxers in the ring, most of them wouldn't last the first round. They were on the canvas, knocked out before the first round was over. And so people used to say, surrender is not like getting in the ring with Mike Tyson and then trying to get out. Surrendering is not getting in the ring in the first place. That's true surrender. You know, it's like don't even go there.
Yeah.
Surrender before you even get in the ring. That's mm-hmm. how you're going to win. Once you're in, you know, how does he say? Life situation unsatisfactory or even intolerable. You know, as you notice, you know, with on Bowery, Skid Row, or any place where there are, you know, alcoholics or addicts or, you know, people who are suffering from addiction, you know, life seems very unsatisfactory or intolerable. And the only way to stop it is to surrender. There's just no other way. Many times a reference to the end of the war in the Pacific. The Japanese had an atomic bomb dropped on them. Well, more than one. And they surrendered. They knew they could not fight. They had to accept complete defeat. And look at them now. They're a major economic world power.
Right.
And because they surrendered. They could have been bombed into non-existence if they had continued to fight. So that's called surrender to win. It says the next paragraph, surrender is perfectly compatible with taking action, initiating change, or achieving goals. But in the surrendered state, a totally different energy, a different quality flows into your doing. Surrender reconnects you with the source energy of being. And if your doing is infused with being, it becomes a joyful celebration of life energy that takes you more deeply into the now. And I think most people don't see that when it comes to surrender. Surrender feels more like loss, feels more like giving up, and does not seem like there's going to be a reconnection with the source energy of being from surrender. But you can look at so many different examples. I mean, certainly for somebody putting down a drink or some other drug, they have a much better chance of reconnecting with their source energy of being instead of being crowded up by that substance and the effects of it.
Yes, it depends on what you can surrendering to. That to me is really key here. When you're talking about surrender, what are we surrendering to? You know, and so we need to be conscious of being in that now and that surrendered state and what does that mean? So that we are not surrendering to the ego or we're not surrendering to somebody else's demand. We are surrendering to our being, our what he calls the source energy of being. We are surrendering to God, to spirit, to the universe for our higher good to make manifest. So that's what we are surrendering. We're not surrendering to the ego, and we're not surrendering to somebody else. We're not putting out the white flag, so to speak, and say, I just give up. You know,
mm-hmm.
We are going higher in consciousness. This is all about consciousness, reaching that higher energy, that source energy, that beingness of us all that you spoke of earlier, that there is only one life, that life is God's life or the universal life or however you want to call it. It is that thing itself, which is what Ernest Holmes says, and we are surrendering to that because we know that in surrendering to that, it's only good that's going to come out of it, and then we'll be led into what that action, that positive action that we need to take would be for us to get a better result.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we don't surrender to it and we're in resistance, we can't hear it, we can't feel it, we can't see it, and so we persist in our resistance, and worse, and the tension just mounts, and we just get worse and worse and worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, and again, you are certainly the voice of experience.
Yes,
you know?
I am.
and yeah, you know, and that's from you know the wisdom, you know, of experience and you know wonderful education,
mm-hmm.
and I, you know. One of the things, and I can certainly speak from experience, is that vital question that you put forth is, what are you surrendering to?
Mm-hmm.
And I know for people, you know, with 12-step experience or history, that is usually the first challenge, the first hurdle.
Uh-huh.
Because you know you need to surrender. Life is intolerable, and the only reason why it's intolerable is because it's just been getting so bad that whatever was going on can no longer cover up, you know, what needs to be revealed, the truth
right.
that needs to be revealed. The pain is just too great.
Right.
It's so intolerable. Something's got to be done.
And mm-hmm.
surrender is the key. However,
right.
what am I surrendering to? So a lot of people don't surrender because they don't have a concept of what they're surrendering to. They don't have
mm-hmm.
a concept of a loving presence, of God.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, many people were brought up with a vengeful God, a punishing God. God's going to get you. You know,
uh-huh.
oh, look what you did. Oh, God is never going to forgive you for that.
Right.
So then how is somebody going to forgive? You know, and that's one of the reasons why I do like science of mind and spirit, why I like religious science, because it offers a different idea of just what this presence is. You know, like I said, it's not your father's or mother's God or grandfather's God, you know. It's not that anymore.
Yeah, it's not your daddy Chevrolet.
Right,
that
that's right.
I thought
you know,
that was so cute. Yeah,
yeah.
In a different ball game now.
And you see, the 12 steps, which were in part kind of shepherded along by early New Thought movement, because
mm-hmm.
they were AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, was coming into the forefront at the same time as other New Thought teachings. And so,
right.
It's been said that Emmett Fox, who was certainly a New Thought minister, speaker, writer, author, practitioner, for sure, he helped the writings of AA. He helped formulate the structure, the spiritual structure of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Uh-huh.
And is widely respected in that realm of AA, even to this day, the writings of Emmett Fox. And so one of the most important things that they realized was that they could not just say, you know, give your life to Jesus or Christ or anything like that, because many people were atheists, or many people found themselves in a situation where, how could God put me in a place like this, in this hell? So a lot of the 12 steps say, you know, a God of your understanding.
Right.
It's like, you know, surrender to a God of your understanding or our understanding, which is a God that is loving, caring, and greater than yourself. And
uh-huh.
with that idea and with that concept, it's much easier to surrender to that idea.
Right.
Than the God that will never forgive, or the God that, you know, is going to put you in hell because
it's
of the things
you,
that
yeah.
you did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no. Surrender, too, is very important. And I think that gets overlooked a lot of times when they say, well, just surrender. You know, why can't you just stop? You know,
yeah.
And the surrender, indeed, is surrendering as he says, to the beingness, really, that we are. you know, to just the very fact that as we surrender, there's a source, a reconnection with the source energy of being. And in religious science, you know, we call that the oneness. You know, we call that the omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. You know, all these words that describe that the source, the creator of all. And it's easier to surrender to that. So thank you for bringing that up.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Mm-hmm. It makes a big difference. Huge difference in what you're surrendering to. And I think because we are so weighted down in this society with the misconceptions about God and creation and God's going to get you, and if you look at the major religions, you know, especially in the Christian, Judaism, Islamic society that we live in today, it's, you know, we have to really reframe how we look at the divine. And it's not about God's going to get you, even though I still hear that talk every day when I talk to my friends and family members who are Christians or Muslims or Jews. You know, they still got this God's going to get you kind of reference point when we talk about surrender, you know, and we talk about some things. It's still with that negative teaching that they've come under. And I'm just so thankful that I have been able to learn better, do better, and bring myself up out of that, because I was in it. But even while I was in it, I just knew it wasn't right. Like, there's something wrong with this picture. This isn't right. And I think a lot of times we go on that journey of our spiritual journey so we can find out what is the answer, because what we're experiencing, we know within us, isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes us to a different place when we surrender to that. If we surrender to the fact that, you know, something is wrong here, this isn't right, I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm surrendering to that question, that I know that there is a better place to be, and I'm going to find that place. So I have surrendered my ego or my questioning to that beingness and following that, and I've left the other stuff behind. And then that's when I said you got to couple up with forgiveness, because I had to do a lot of forgiveness work. I still am, because I'm still discovering things that I need to look at and then do my forgiveness work around. However, it's so healing to me and to other people, because it's healing to them, not because I've forgiven them, quote unquote, and they know that I've forgiven them. It has nothing to do with that. It's all about me and the energy that I'm projecting outward towards them. And then as I forgive them, as I forgive myself, then I can have a better relationship with them. And they don't even know anything about it. You know, because it's all about me. It's all about my, it's my inside job. And I'm seeing myself shifting and changing and being different around people, whereas before, I wasn't saying anything because my mom said, you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. I wasn't saying anything because I had nothing nice to say. And since I shifted that, now I can have a conversation, and it's a good conversation, whereas before I wouldn't have been engaged at all in the conversation, you know?
Right.
And so that, to me, is surrendering. I surrendered that past. I surrendered that hurt. I surrendered all that negative stuff he's talking about. Took some positive action so I can find out better answers to the questions that I went on that search. And it's reaping rewards for me, many benefits for myself and for those people who are around me.
Yeah, excellent. And it's practice, you know.
It's a lot of practice.
Because
yes.
It's each moment. Yeah, it's like,
yes.
It's like the food that we ate yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's already been burned up in our system, you know, and each day we need new food.
We have
to be in and out. We're not going to exist on yesterday's foods, or maybe last week even for that matter, you know. our body requires. Yeah. We're not living off the air, most of us.
We haven't learned how to do that yet.
You're right. Well, there are some people, I understand, who, you know, are supposed to be surviving off of air. But, you know, even if that's true, they still need something. You know?
Yeah.
They need something new. That breath is only going to last but so long. You know?
But, yeah, it's a lot to it. It really, really is. And that's where you talk about the practice and the teaching and, you know, because whenever we do anything, we have to learn about it. You know, you go on your spiritual search, and then God will, the universe, the spirit, will guide you in that search and bring into your environment, into your circumstances, to the people, things that you need. And you can recognize those answers to those questions because you've asked the question, and then you recognize the answer. And then you keep going on that path, and you get led gently down that path. It's like I call it, like, you know, if you're climbing a ladder, you know, you can only go one rung at a time. You can't just jump up the ladder. You know, you take a step, and then you take another step, and you take another step, and you take another step. And before you know it, you know, you climb that ladder. Except for our ladder, spiritually, it never ends. Because you just keep climbing, and you expand your horizons. You see more and more. You see more connections. Things fall into place. Makes sense. You do your forgiveness because, you know, it's all part. You see it how it's all part of that. And the people who have come into your life have come into your life for a reason. And I used to hear, well, you know, we all here by divine appointment. There are no coincidences. There are no accidents. We're here together because that's what we're supposed to be. It's all part of the divine plan. And I'm like, you know, didn't make much sense to me, but I'll go for it. Maybe I can understand it later. Now, this is my later, looking back, and I can see how all of these different incidences, people, and changes, the major changes I've had in my life have definitely brought me to my moment where I am now. Have definitely done that, because without that, I wouldn't, you know, it's an ingredient in the recipe, you know.
That's right. That's right.
It's an ingredient in the recipe. Something would be missing. And so you have, you know, your recipe of who you are and what made you who you are has been the result of all the ingredients that have gone in your life up until this point. And this is who you are today as a result of that. And we haven't just come to ourselves and say, this is how I am, without having those previous experiences. It just doesn't work that way. And we all do it. The thing that happens to somebody is something that happens to all of us. All of us.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, and that's why we're able to help one another. And
exactly.
That's the main importance of what we're doing and why we're here and you know, just spreading the word, you know. And even on 174, you know, and thank you again for that, talks about the state of surrender in the middle of the page.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, in the state of surrender, you see very clearly what needs to be done, and you take action, doing one thing at a time and focusing on one thing at a time.
Right.
To learn from nature, see how everything gets accomplished, and how the miracle of life unfolds without dissatisfaction or unhappiness. That's why Jesus said, look at the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin.
Right.
And it says, if your overall situation is unsatisfactory or unpleasant, separate out this instant and surrender to what is. That's the flashlight cutting through the fog. Your state of consciousness then ceases to be controlled by external conditions. You are no longer coming from reaction and resistance. And that resistance to surrender, you know, is usually what makes a mess out of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it does happen in so many instances in our lives. Some have greater consequences than others. But at some point, I believe, you know, we do end up surrendering because I always get the vivid picture of holding a beach ball, you know, being at the beach or at the pool and holding a beach ball underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a totally inflated beach ball, just holding it under the water. And the pressure that you have to exert to keep that ball under the water gets greater because, you know, we start getting tired. You know, we have to exert more and more energy.
Right.
And that ball, it's the same ball, you know, it's like it's ready to come up. And, you know, at some point, we're going to have to let it go. We're going to have to surrender to that constant, you know, pressure of the ball ready to rise out of the water, to rise up. And that's like surrendering in that moment. You know, eventually, we're going to have to let it go.
Uh-huh.
You know, and once we do, guess what? We're no longer tired. We're no longer stressed out, you know, stressing our muscles, trying to exert our power and energy over the situation. You know, we're surrendering to what is and just allow it to be. It says, your state of consciousness then ceases to be controlled by external conditions. So we're not trying to control the outside. And our focus is on that. Because if we're trying to hold that ball underwater and we're looking at something else and trying to be involved somewhere else, eventually that ball, it's going to escape. You know,
right.
We will have surrendered, maybe not so willingly, but our focus was on something else. And so I like how it ends on 174. And it says, look at the specifics of the situation. Ask yourself, is there anything I can do to change the situation, improve it, or remove myself from it? And to me, that's the most important thing.
Exactly.
And this is taught in for 12-steppers. The most important thing that most anybody can do when they find themselves in a situation that's bringing them back into what they're surrendering from, let's say they're, like for me, I went to a wedding and people were asking me to hold their drinks while they go dance.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am holding these drinks, these alcohol drinks in my hands, and I don't want to drink. You know, I'm trying to make a change in my life situation.
Okay.
And I was told, you know, if you find yourself in a situation that could jeopardize your recovery, remove yourself.
Right.
There's a saying that says if you sit in the barbershop long enough, you'll get a haircut.
You'll get a haircut.
You know, so, hey, I had to remove myself. Uh-huh. And that's what we do. You know, we do it sometimes more consciously than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we remove ourselves. So
that's
the thing. And I think it says improve it or remove myself from it. And sometimes that's the only thing. It's look, I'm out of here.
That's the only thing. Sometimes that's the only out.
Why should I try to change something outside of myself? Mm-hmm. Can I improve it? Well, maybe. However, one thing for sure, if I remove myself, you know, I won't be feeling intolerable.
Right.
Yeah, there's situations that maybe if it directly, you know, affecting my life, and I can change it. You know, you've heard of the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the most important part, the wisdom to know the difference.
Exactly.
And for the most part, if it's not me, I'm not really going to be able to change it.
Right.
Not effectively,
you know,
no. So,
and one thing was I was raising, when my kids were teenagers, and, you know, you have a lot of peer pressure going on with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I taught them, I said, when you're in a situation that you know is not a good situation, and a no-good situation was any situation that they weren't able to tell me about. If you can't come home and tell me about it, then you don't need to be in it, okay?
Right, right.
And if you find yourself in a situation that you know isn't good for you to be in, you tell them you got to go because your mother is expecting you home at any moment and you're already late. I said,
right.
Always use me as an excuse. I got to go. I just look at the time. I should have been home 10 minutes ago, a half an hour ago, an hour ago. My mother's having a fit.
That's right.
I got to go. I'll see you later.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, use me at any given time to ask an excuse to get out of the situation. Because, you know, for teenagers, it's hard to not go along with the thing. So they need to have an out. And I was there.
Make an
out.
Easy surrender. Yeah, that's an easy surrender.
And so who's going to argue with that? Which kid is going to argue with you and that your mom told me you had to be? They're not going to argue. They can't argue that. They can argue a lot of stuff. but they can't argue that. And so I told them to use me as an excuse to get out of any situation that they needed to get out of. And they did. And it was great. And they would come home and tell me about them. But that's one way to remove yourself from a bad situation. And you need to remove yourself. And sometimes I even, to this day, I remove myself. I just tell people, you know, I really got to go right now. I really don't have time. I wish I did, but I don't. Mm-hmm. And I got to go. I got something to do, whatever. Got an appointment. I got something to do. I need to leave. And what I got that something that I need to do is get away from this situation.
That's right.
That's what I need to do. I need to get out of here right now so I got somewhere else to go. And my mother and my somewhere else to go is away from here.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that in your mind. What is your exit strategy? How are you going to get out a graceful exit? How do I gracefully exit this? Because you don't want to go into judgment. You want to, like you said, if you can't improve the situation, a lot of times you can't because you're talking to other adults and everybody have the right to be a particular position or their mindset. How do I handle that? I remove myself from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken me a while to get there, but I tell you, I love being able to remove myself from a situation and have that graceful exit, and I get in my car or wherever I do, and I just go and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm gone. I'm out. I go about my business.
That's right.
Yeah, you have to have a way to get out. And know what you're surrendering to.
Now, it reminds me of the autobiography in 5 short chapters. And I'll read it next time. Because basically the first one starts off, I was walking down the street.
Oh, yeah,
there's
that
a big hole in the street.
There's a big hole, yeah.
And I fall in the street.
And I fall in a hole.
I don't know how I got here. You know, minding my own business.
And the next day.
Yeah, walking down the same street. There's a hole. I see it. I'm falling again.
I fall into it.
You know? And I love that. It's like...
And to me, that's how it goes, because you're going to fall into that hole until we decide to walk down a different street.
Right.
I love it. You have to walk down a different street. That's what you have to do.
Uh-huh. That's right.
And but, you know, it takes us, we have to fall in those holes maybe a few times, you know, before we realize, you know, I don't have to go down this street. I can walk down the other street.
But even before that surrender part, after you know what, I fall in a hole again. You know, because before it kept saying, it's not my fault. This time it is my fault. You know, I get out of the hole immediately.
Yeah.
And then the next one is, I'm walking down the street. I see the hole. I walk around it. And then the next one says, I walk down a different street. You know, it's like I totally remove myself. I totally surrender to the fact that I just can't even walk down that street. You know?
Right.
And I love
can't
that.
Can't even go there. Yep.
Yeah. So I want to invite. Yeah, I want to invite one of our listeners who's on the phone. If you want to say anything, you can just unmute yourself if you like and say hi or anything you like before the show comes to a wonderful close.
Hello, good evening. This is Brenda.
How you doing,
Hi, Brenda?
Hey, awesome. Yay, thank you. That's why it's important to practice so that we don't have to fall in the hole.
Amen.
Because there's a better place to be
than trying to get out the hole, right?
So thank you both. Man, this is awesome. I know I need to practice.
Yes, we all do. And we all need to be reminded from time to time.
Absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
Indeed.
So I thank you both. I thank you all.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for being with us.
Yes, thank you. It's wonderful.
There's something I'd like to read. It's from Meditations of the Heart by Howard Thurman. And Howard Thurman was an awesome New Thought minister, as well as a judge. I believe he was a judge. Let's see. He definitely is a minister. For some reason, I thought he was a judge. I'm not too sure about that. Anyway, his book, one of his books, Meditation of the Heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to read a passage. He was a theologian. It's called, I Surrender to God. He says, to God, I make a full surrender. I surrender to God the nerve center of my consent. This is the very core of my will, the mainspring of my desiring, the essence of my conscious thought. I surrender to God the outlying districts of myself. These are the side streets down which I walk at night, the alleys of my desires, the parts of me that have not been laid out with streets, the wooded area, the swamps and marshlands of my character. I surrender to God the things in my world to which I am related. These are the work I do, the things I own or that threaten me with their ownership, the points at which I carry social responsibility among my fellows, the money I earn, my delight in clothes and good food. I surrender to God the hopes, dreams, and desires of my heart. These are the things I reserve for my innermost communion. These are the fires that burn at the various altars of my life. These are the outreaches of my spirit, enveloping all the hurt, the pain, the injustices, and the cruelties of life. These are the things by which I live and carry on. To God, I make a full surrender this day. So it is.
And so it is.
And I really like that because, in other words, it's like, I surrender everything.
Uh-huh.
You know? I'm surrendering it all to God. You know, and that there's no better way to be in the present moment. Surrendering the money, surrendering the things, the clothes, what I think about what's happening in the world. I surrender it to God. You know, so surrendering what I think is so vital and important because what I think is not so important.
Right.
You know, it's like, let me surrender all of that. But and I think basically what it means is the labels. I surrender the labels that I'm attributing to things. Good, bad, and ugly, and pretty, and, you know, because it's only in that moment. It reminds me of the Course in Miracles and all of the lessons. It starts off by saying, nothing I see means anything. You know, it's like, I just, you know what, I'm just surrendering every belief that I have, you know. Let me surrender it. Because it's got to bring me back to the pure essence of what is, without me putting a label on anything. So I really do appreciate, you know,
I'm glad that you read that last part about surrender because that answers the question. What are you surrendering to? Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Thank you.
Okay, so this wonderful session is going to come to an end, and what I'd like to do is invite any last remarks. Well, actually, before we do, I'd like to once again state that we are One Love Center. This is our awesome third year, moving into our fourth year, and I'm just so grateful that we at One Love Center, we envision the world as a sacred environment where spiritual growth and development flourish through living in the practice of spiritual principles. That's what we're about. And we're on a mission. Our One Love mission is to provide a stable and welcoming community for all who choose to practice and grow, play and unfold their understanding of spiritual principles and spiritual living. We are a member of Centers for Spiritual Living. This is what we're about. Oneness, wisdom, forgiveness, understanding, peace, love, all the ways in which we can help bring this worldwide community to a place to unfold not only spiritual understanding, but spiritual living. And that's what it's about. It's about spiritual living, and we know it's through love. And we're doing our best as one love, as the One Love Center. We meet the first and third Sunday of every month. And as I said earlier, we'll be meeting three times in December for the Burning Bowl ceremony at the end of the year. So we meet the first and third Sundays of the month at 11:30 a.m. at the Village at Carreje. It's a Renate Albertson Martin Gallery as well as a performance space. It's a gallery, it's an art cafe, there's a lot that goes on. So please avail yourself of the opportunity to check out the Village at Carreje. Not only when we're there on the first and third Sundays at 11:30 a.m. for a wonderful Sunday celebration, but there are other events that go on there as well. And you can actually reach your Village at Carreje at 718-857-2522. And so, yes, we do meet there, and we'll be meeting there this Sunday, the 19th of October. And you're most welcome to join us. So we are a community of fellowship, meditation, prayer, sacred service, spiritually supported healing service, spiritual speakers, which is Reverend Hajar Rahim, and myself, and many others on the planet. We have musical transformances, and this is music that is meant to transform you. We have study workshops and spiritual films as well. So please feel free to contact us. You can reach us at 917-755-1418. And we have email. We have onelove@onelovecenter.org. And we have a website, www.onelovecenter.org. Please feel free, once you look at our website, to participate in helping that be a more viable website. We appreciate your contribution. So, we'd like to hear from Reverend Hajar Rahim. Any last comments, any last words?
I am just so enjoying this time together. And as we, you know, we practice and we teach and we practice and we teach and we learn as we practice and we teach. So just because I have Reverend in front of my name does not mean that I have reached the pinnacle. We're all in this together, and we continue on our journey together, and we learn from each other, we play with each other, we challenge each other, and we just keep moving it higher and higher and higher, expanding our conscious awareness through the different activities that we participate in. So I invite you, if you feel so inclined, to come and play with us. It's a good game.
And we have a good time celebrating the oneness of life. We are a place where love grows. And you are most certainly welcome. Thank you, Reverend Hajar Rahim. Thank you so much, Hajar, for your participation in spreading the love. Thank you, Brenda, for joining us as well, and all of those who are listening and live, and those who are listening online and listening to the archives. And my name is Rodney Gittins, and it is a distinct pleasure to present The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And we really trust and pray and know that whatever you get out of it, you're able to share in love, in peace, and in joy. So we're going to also say goodbye as we listen to one of our favorite songs that we even use in our celebration service. It's called
Jesus,
Holy
Buddha,
by a group called Here
Kali,
to Hear.
Krishna, Isis, Mandela, Sophia, Mohammed, Yahweh, Sai Baba, La Virgen, Maria, Wakantanka, Ramana. Silence, freedom, detachment, devotion, wisdom, surrender, salvation, compassion, sacred Satan's own son.
Yeah.